Hey folks, welcome to episode 2 already of the new year of the Jason Wright Show. Okay, so if you follow my my social media, if you subscribe to the Vitruvian Letter, somewhere, somehow, you've probably heard that one of the things that I am going to be doing in 2022 is learning to play the guitar. Well, today you are going to hear from my guitar instructor, Tim Woosley. He is a fantastic guy. I am so glad he and I have connected and that I have been able to, through the show, befriend him. And I thought it would be appropriate to launch the conversation with Tim about how he went from looking to figure out what he really wanted to do with a background in completely, he's always had music in his DNA from a very young age. But it wasn't until recently that he realized that he didn't want to just build guitars. He didn't want to just play the guitar. He wanted to teach others to enjoy the guitar. And so that is why he started Enjoy Playing Guitar. And he's going to be teaching me. And we're going to, and look, we're doing our first lesson today. And I am so excited about that. And I'm going to record all of my lessons with him. So you can go out to the YouTube channel. We'll post some of the things on Instagram, Facebook. I'm going to let him spread it far and wide, but we'll also do some Insta lives with my lessons. And so I'll try to give you a heads up. And if you ever see though that Jason Wright has gone live, and if it shows with Tim Woosley, then you'll know I'm in the middle of a guitar lesson. So look, you can do one of two things. You can either watch and laugh at my complete lack of musical talent, or you can bring your guitar and sit in the lesson with us. You are invited. I want Tim to reach as many people as possible to be able to learn how to do something as cool and as therapeutic as playing guitar. And so anyway, that's it. Just wanted to, I know this is a little bit different intro than what I normally do, but I'm really excited about it. And if you happen to download this episode and all of a sudden you see today, because I may go ahead and go live with our very first lesson whenever we do this, then just be aware of that. And that's it. Enjoy my interview with my personal guitar instructor, Tim Woosley, the founder of Enjoy Playing Guitar. Oh, and by the way, if you hear a little bit of street noise or something like that, it was coming through on Tim's end. Don't worry, the aliens aren't landing. There's no tornadoes outside your window. It's just a little bit of road noise. And so don't fret. Just please overlook it. The conversation is still amazing. And I know you're going to enjoy this conversation. Thanks. All right, Tim, welcome to the Jason Wright Show.
Thanks, Jason. It's awesome to be here.
Well, this is so cool because, like, all right, so thank you for reaching out to me, because you're right. You and I think that we both have a heart to put good stuff out into this world. As you know, the show's motto is to improve always and always. And I think one of the things that makes the world a better place is music. And a desire I've always had, and I've talked to you about offline, is that I've always wanted to learn to play the guitar. And it's pretty cool that I create a podcast and a guitar teacher reaches out and said it to me. And I'm like, okay, it's finally time. I got to pull this off, man. So, but I want to learn about you, and I want this audience to hear your journey to where you are and just see where it goes. And then an audience, just so you know, listeners to the Jason Wright Show, Tim and I are going to be coming all next year with live videos, me struggling, I'm sure, you know, trying to learn how to play the guitar. And you're going to find out how you can learn from Tim as well as we go through this process. But with that, and that long rambling intro, I'm glad you're here, brother.
Hey man, thanks so much for having me. This is going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait to get started.
All right. Well, me too. Well, let's just talk about you for a minute. I want to know how you became, tell me, you know, when did you first pick up a guitar? What led you to it? And then I know that you weren't always like going to teach. I know there was a journey there. So kind of talk about how your love of music and how you got from point A to where you are now.
Sure. Well, my father and my uncle, they played a lot of guitar. They were children of the 60s. And so my grandfather bought all of his kids instruments because he wanted his own little country band to play for him. And so there was always music going on in our house. And I remember vividly as a kid that I would get to go to my uncle's house on the weekends when I was just a young lad. And my dad would take his electric guitar, and I can't tell you how much fun it was to be able to stay up late. I mean, like a, you know, 8, 9, 10-year-old kid staying up until 1, 2, 3 in the morning, just sitting there watching my dad and my uncle rock out to like Creedence Clearwater Revival and all these old songs they'd play. And I got to tell you, that was so much fun. And that stuck with me so much that when I was 13, my dad had guitars all around the house. And one day I picked one up just out of curiosity, and he noticed that, and he said, well, let me sit you down and try to show you a few things. And so he showed me like Stairway to Heaven and Pipeline and all these cool old songs. And I just took off from there. So it was awesome.
So did you, now, was he classically trained? Did he teach himself? So did you learn notes and chords right away? Did you learn to read music right away? What was that process?
Sure. Well, I can honestly say that it was all just nose to the grindstone kind of stuff. It was a lot of watching what he did with his fingers and copying that. This might be sacrilege to a lot of people, but I'm a music teacher that does not read music.
Well, that's why I ask, is because I hear that a lot, Tim, is, you know, I mean, I don't know if Jimmy Page reads music. I mean, you hear all these just legends that they're just masters, but guitar seems to be one of those instruments, which I guess a lot of instruments are like this, where you learn by trial and error. So that's why I asked the question, man. That's crazy.
Yeah. You think of all the greats, like the Beatles, mm-hmm. Stevie Ray Vaughan, Eddie Van Halen, none of them could read a note. That doesn't mean that they aren't, doesn't mean they don't have the ability to understand, you know, things like intervals or chords or progressions. But I find, for me, I find a lot of the times that is a huge hindrance for people wanting to learn. They go, well, I can't read music, so I'm out of the game. But what I like to think of, the analogy I use when I'm teaching, is I like chocolate chip cookies. Okay, I love to eat chocolate chip cookies. Mm-hmm. And if you come to me with chocolate chip cookies, I don't care what type of salt you use. I don't care if it's pink Himalayan salt, road salt. I don't care. I just want to eat the cookies. So that's the same analogy, is that when someone comes in typically to a music store, is they'll go, okay, let's talk about the notes on the E string. And to me, that's the quickest way to just tap out, you know? But I find that over enough time, if I have those cookies and I really enjoy them, then I ask you for the recipe, then I can kind of drip feed you some of the information that would be the theory and things like that. So my goal is to just help people eat cookies as much as they can and then just enjoy it. So having carrots via carrot cake and just enjoying the process. And then in the process, you might actually learn a little bit at a time.
So how cool is it? I mean, I want to get more to, you know, you learning as a kid, you figure it out, you start just playing by trial and error, and then kind of the career side of it that brought you to be an entrepreneur. But before that, just to kind of satisfy my curiosity, how cool is it whenever you have a student come in that, like for me, I mean, there's a catalog of songs that are like, God, if only I could play, you know, like the intro to Going to California by Led Zeppelin. So I knew we were doing this conversation. I knew we were going to have this conversation today. So I'm on my walk this morning. I'm thinking, man, how cool would that be if I'm able to play that at Abby's wedding? Because my youngest daughter and I, we both have this just intense love for music. That's one of our favorite Led Zeppelin songs. And it's just so beautiful. I was like, okay, there we go. That might be one that I want to, you know, bring up to Tim. So, I mean, is that generally what your students do? They come and go, I want to learn to play this, you know, and then you, and let me ask you this, two part.
Yeah.
Do they bring that riff that they want to try to crush, you know, from the get-go? And if they do you kind of get them into that? Or do you say, okay, cool, park that. And then you have to start teaching them and then work their way to it. What does that process look like?
Sure. Well, typically what happens is when I have someone come in, I do a pretty thorough interview and I kind of just rattle their cages. And I really want to know the real reasons they want to play the guitar. And so a lot of times people don't know, they don't articulate. So if they say, I want to play the guitar, I'll ask questions like, why? Like 6, 7 deep. I want to play guitar. Really? Why is that? Well, because it's cool. Yeah, it is cool. Why do you think it's so cool? Well, what's cool about it? Well, oh gosh, the guy Slash from Guns N' Roses, he's awesome. Right. Okay, yeah, he is awesome. Why do you think he's so awesome? Well, because he can do all these slithering, snaky, cool licks, and he looks really cool. Okay, so you keep going down why, and then, well, he's got so much confidence. And it's like, okay, now we're getting into the area where you really are looking for confidence and not necessarily to learn. You're looking for the confidence through that, you know, Guns N' Roses lick or something like that, but really trying to figure out what the deeper issues are for that.
I love that, man. That's a perfect lead in to what really matters to me about this conversation. So tell me what you're in your experience, what has been some of the coolest whys that you've seen? Because I got to believe that, like, for me, playing guitar is, and whenever you and I do our interview, I'm going to tell you that it's because, you know, I want to improve my mind. I freaking love music. There's a neuroscience, you know, component to it that it's good for you. And it's just beautiful and it is cool.
Absolutely.
And you almost have to have a concrete why to point to, right? I mean, am I right about that, Tim?
I think the why is kind of that's the cornerstone that keeps you together. So it doesn't have to be lofty. If it's, hey, I want to look cool to the opposite sex, that's fine. Right. If it's, I want to have confidence because I'm a wallflower and I just need to have that confidence, that's fine. Because when it gets difficult, challenging, that's when you need to reach for that why and go, you know what? I don't want to, you know, that's when people start to tap out and they go, you know what? I don't think I have what it takes. No, wait a second. I wanted to, whatever that is, I wanted to write a song to impress that girl in chemistry class or whatever it would be, right? Yep. You got to keep that why in front of you.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. All right, so let's go back to you a little bit in your early days. What's the first thing you ever learned to play?
The first thing I learned to play was a Stairway to Heaven, which is...
Wow.
Yeah.
Coming out of the gate hot.
That's right. That was...
The forbidden lick from day
one. That's right.
Well done, sir.
That's right. Wow. Well, yes, that was my dad. He was gracious enough to sit down with me several times, and I think finally he just tapped out because, you know, that's an 8-minute long song. And so he taught me the intro a little bit, and I would just butcher it for a long time because it's very difficult with your fingers and stuff like that. But I think the desire, I mean, Led Zeppelin, my head exploded. I thought that was the coolest thing. In fact, I have the song Heartbreaker on my ringtone, because when I first heard that rock, that lead break in the middle of that song, where he just goes, ba-da-da-da, and he just goes banana sandwich on it, my head just, I couldn't understand it. So I keep that ringtone on as a reminder of just the passion I had when I first heard that song. But yeah, Stairway to Heaven was the first one. And then, you know, I had my dad had a little spiral binder of the songs he had. So I would learn like Sitting on Dock of the Bay, Bad Moon Rise and things like that. I would just kind of flip through his pages. But this was like in the 80s where they didn't internet stuff. So what I had to do for songs I was interested in is there was a magazine that came out every month called Guitar for the Practicing Musician. And so every month I would go down to the store and pick one of those up, and I would look on the covers and they would transcribe 2 or 3 songs. And this was during the 80s. So a lot of it was like Every Rose Has Its Thorn, a lot of White Snake, you know, things like that. And during the 80s, that was some really tough stuff. Some of those lead guitar riffs are really challenging, but you had to wait. If you wanted a song, you just had to wait because you didn't have the notation available to you.
Right. Okay. So, and then how does it progress from, now let's just take us through the career, take us through the hero's journey, man, of how you end up learning to play the guitar at your father's knee, and then you learn Stairway to Heaven, which I think, man, wow, what a start. And then kind of this trajectory that brought you to basically this conversation, man, where you're doing what you're doing now.
Sure. Well, I had in junior high and high school, I had a couple of garage bands, and you know, I was really motivated, but I wasn't very good. In fact, I was the guy that the band would quit and reform without me, kind of thing. So that was kind of embarrassing. Right. And that happened a couple of times during my youth. And I wanted to be a rock star. I finally found a group of guys that I was going to hang with. And so we started writing original material. And then I met my wife. And so then I decided that I don't want this dream anymore of being a rock star. I don't want to sleep on pool tables on the East Coast for 10 days while my girlfriend is back in the Midwest. So I wanted to think of a career that I could still be involved with music. And so I decided to build guitars. And so I went to a school in Michigan and started building guitars and came back home and made up a business plan. And I was building guitars out of my garage. And it was long, quiet, sad days in front of a desk. And then I realized over the course of building guitars for the next year or two, that it had nothing to do with music. It had everything to do with woodworking. And by the time it became something cool, like a guitar, I would have to then relinquish that to a customer and start all over again. Wow. So that wasn't making a lot of money at the beginning because I was new. I really didn't like it because it didn't involve music. So what I would do in between times is I posted a little flyer up at my local church, and it said, hey, because I also led worship at the church as well, where I would play guitar and lead worship. So what I did is people would see me there. And so I would say, hey, guitar lessons available. And instantly I had like 40 students. I couldn't believe how quick it jumped. And so I found myself getting excited for the later half of the afternoon, where in the morning I would be building and breaking things and not figuring out how to do it. And then I'd be yearning for that afternoon where I would get to hang out with 10-year-olds, 15-year-olds, 40-year-olds, and then sit across from them and just pour into them and say, isn't this awesome? Check out how you do this. And to see them have that aha moment when they get something. And that's when I kind of discovered, hey, I don't want the guitar building thing. I want to hang with somebody and I want to pour and encourage into them and help them out on their journeys.
I think that is so cool too, because like you and I talked about during our very first conversation, there's so many people that they pursue an ambition, a goal, the dream job, but they think, for instance, let's say that someone out there wants to be a professional baseball player, but they just don't have the talent for it. Sure. But if they love the game enough, there's other jobs that are in the field that get to feed the passion just in a different area. And that's one of the things I love most about your story is that mm-hmm. you had the guts, first of all, and the courage to jump out and go, I want to be involved in music. And if that means building guitars, let's go. And then you go to school and you give it a shot and you realize that's not the deal, but you didn't just abandon it. You didn't go become a CPA, you know, you stuck with it. And just for a moment, if you can, and not to get too philosophical, but how important was that for you to stay in music at some level to be able to feed that absolute passion that you knew was there? And were there ever times when you were like, I hate building guitars, I'm not going to do it, so Lord, what do I do? You know,
right.
You ever have those moments that you had to struggle through?
Well, I know that before I went to build guitars, I was working at the DMV for 5 years, licensing and registering.
Wow, which is just like being in music, but different, right?
Well, yeah, exactly. Well, there's a little cartoon behind the counter that you can't see, and it says, I know I'm going to heaven because I've spent my time in hell. So, during that time, I had a calendar, and just like the convict who's getting off, I had big red X's on the day that I was going to retire and start building guitars. And so that was I kind of did that corporate job, and I knew that that was not where my life was at. To me, that just, from my personality, that was just sucking the soul out of me every day. And so I knew I had to take this chance, even if I fell flat on my face, I needed to do it. And I think that's the biggest thing, is that don't be afraid. I mean, you can do the side hustle on the weekends and the nights, but if you want something, you've just gotta fall on your face a lot. I think that the biggest successful people out there are also the biggest failures, who have also gotten back up and started again.
Absolutely. Man, I like that. So how did you develop that timeline so that you could put the X's? Did you like enroll in the school and know, okay, I've put my deposit in, I know I'm about to start building, go to guitar building school. And then how did that work? I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. My wife and I were discussing, cause she saw me when I came home every day and there was just a shell of the man she met. And so she's like, you got to get out of there. And so what we decided is that, okay, well, the school is going to be in the fall. And so we started, you know, we were saving and we put the deposit in. And this is one of a school. So I'm going to be working at the school, but I'm not going to be bringing any income home. So she had to build up her income twice as much to take care of her at home, and then to send me a $5 bill in the mail every month or so. And I would be so excited. But yeah, I mean, it was exactly that. We just had to think about what we were going to do, how we were going to do it. So we had to pinch a lot of pennies. We had to make a lot of shortcuts. We had to drive cars, had a bondo on them. And it's just one of those things, you go, if you find something you want, it's not that big of a deal, as long as you keep working, inching towards that goal.
I love that, man. I mean, the price of a dream. And absolutely. And anyone listening to this, I mean, it's never easy. I always try to preach that to people that want to step out into entrepreneurship or anything. I remember, like, when I did it, you know, I didn't have the money. I didn't have the experience. There's never the perfect time. And right. Worst case scenario, I guess it's like Tim Ferriss has always said that this is why he didn't go to Stanford for business school. He's like, you know, I figured, well, I can either start a business or I can go to Stanford, and either way, I get an education. But one, I get an education and some real life experience at the same time. And he determined that even if, I guess, BrainQuick and his first protein bar company, even if it failed, well, at least he would have the education. And that's the thing that I love to tell this audience every chance I get about entrepreneurship, is that, you know, though, when you really find something you're passionate about, the suffering isn't suffering at all if you suffer for a reason. It's kind of like Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning, right? It's finding right. The purpose and the meaning in the moment that will sustain you through that. So, and kudos to your wife. That's awesome, man, to have that support group. Did you guys have kids at the time that you went through that?
No, that was something that we told ourselves we had to get our careers kind of straight before we figured we'd bring children in, and this was the perfect time. So we did not have kids at the time, but she's been my rock through all of this.
That's awesome. Okay. So now tell me so you guys went through all that just to prepare for, I mean, you got the calendar on the wall, you're making the X's, you're working at the DMV. And you and your wife have had the tough conversations. You pinched the pennies. You're doing all these things to get you to go to this school. Then you decide, say, what I want to do, not enjoying it. How'd that conversation go with the missus? And then how did you plan your exit from that? Sure. I've been there, by the way. I've made big risks only to find out, holy cow, man, this is not the right move. So how did that look?
Well, you don't know what's going to work until you throw something against the wall and see if it sticks. And I had no idea that I did not want to build guitars. I mean, it sounds cool, doesn't it? It sounds sexy and interesting, but really, it's a lot of woodworking. And so I had got the SBA loan, and I had started building, and I had a couple of customers. And then you could see the changes happening slowly. Well, I was teaching in the spare bedroom of our two bedroom house. And so that was going really well. And I actually got a news article. The local newspaper had a little article on me building guitars and teaching out of my room. And then my wife and I discovered we were going to have a daughter. And so what we had to do is, well, Tim, you got to get out of that room because that's now going to be the baby room. And so then I shifted over and I rented out like an old laundromat area where I would just be teaching out of a small little dentist room or something like that, just trying to find little spots in town that I can manage. And then it slowly kind of built up, and the guitar business kind of slowly just whispered and dissolved away because it wasn't that successful, to be honest. And once again, I kept pushing for the, I would go on Craigslist and I would put guitar lessons available, and I would flyer around neighborhoods and things like that. I would just do whatever I could do. And I would constantly be, you know, updating my Google page and my Yelp and all that stuff, just kind of daily putting in a little bit of work to kind of edge it down the field just a little bit further for success.
Wow. Now I got a question just again to satisfy my curiosity. What makes a Gibson superior? Is it how it's designed? Is it the way that it's made? What makes a good guitar a good guitar?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with the actual wood, and it has to do with the craftsmanship, you know, because I'm sure you're familiar with Gibson is kind of like the upper echelon, right. And they have what I would call like the budget model or the student model, which is Epiphone. And so if you have an Epiphone Les Paul and then you have a Gibson Les Paul, a lot of it has to do with the fact that the woods are different. maybe that's a lot more machinery work that's been put in. But with the Epiphone, it's just cheaper materials. Whereas the Gibson, there are people that are actually hand adjusting things, and there's a lot more hands-on with the Gibson stuff.
Okay. All right. So, well, tell me now, what is life looking like now? So you are full-time instructor now, right? Are you building guitars at all? Like if I wanted to commission you to build a guitar, do you do that at all? Or is it just straight teaching now?
No, I've sold all the material. I've sold all that stuff. And so now it's just, I have a local music studio here in town that I teach in during the evenings. But in the mornings, I've been working on my online course, which is the Enjoy Playing Guitar thing.
Yeah. Now tell me about that. Did that come as the era of COVID coming upon us, or had you always planned to do this? Kind of how did that evolve?
Sure. Well, this is actually my exit strategy for the local school, because, you know, I can only, as an employee of my own business, I can only sit across so many people and help so many people per day. And so, I mean, I teach from 3 p.m. to 9 p.m. all week long. And so every 30 minutes, I have a new person coming in, and that just fatigues you when you've been doing that for decades. Yeah. And so I want to make sure that I can still give quality instruction. I think I have a lot to give for that. And so I started building this online course because then I wanted to be able to help somebody in Germany or someone in you know, the Philippines or something like that, if they wanted something. And so it's just a chance for me to help more people in that regard.
Yeah, no, I think it's a fantastic idea. And I mean, it's a testament to this new world in which we live, to where you can scale a service practice like yours. And man, I'm excited. I'm excited for you. Now, I want to go back to, though, before we get into just like the pure basics, because I'm going to ask you some questions about just how the best ways to learn, and for anybody out there, why they should or shouldn't, you know, how do they know if they're ready to play the guitar? But from a philosophical standpoint, with you, your family, your daughter, and the whole deal, how important has it been to you to stick with this love of music in your life, in your career? Just what has that meant to you?
Well, you know, music, it's interesting because music, I mean, not everybody likes baseball. Not everybody likes ballet, but everybody likes music. Yeah. And so I think it's just the universal language that everybody just enjoys from no matter where they're at, whether they're just singing a cappella or they're playing an instrument. It's just something that's deep within us.
Yeah, no, I could not agree more. And that's the thing that I think that you're one, it's cool that you get to exercise your talent, and two, to be able to make that a vocation. And again, it's one of the things I want to stress to this audience, even if it's like what you had to do, it has to be a side hustle before it can be the hustle,
sure.
You know, whatever the case may be. And here's another thing too, Tim, and you may be able to confirm this. I would like to tell this audience that even if you find yourself to where the side hustle that you love and you're passionate about is always a side hustle, that's more than most people are willing to do. Most people just look and go, I can't do that. I've got two daughters right now that are about to finish college. And it's crazy, man, because I see them and they're doing like so many, like I did. They're worried about getting the internships and the right job. And I'm like, girls, just realize I'm proud of you. I want you to do that. I want you to get off the payroll for sure. But do not give up the hopes, the dreams of doing something cool, even if it's alongside the job. Don't just abandon that and then fall into the trappings of the quote unquote world and, you know, and all that it has, because man, the older you get, the harder, and as you can attest to, I'm sure, I know it was for me whenever I stepped out into entrepreneurship, I was pretty young then. If I were starting it all over again, it's so much harder the older you get. So even if it's always kind of the pastime, like was it Harlan Sanders, 65 years old before he finally made any money off the Colonel's Original Recipe, right? And did you know? So this is cool, Tim. You talking about driving cars you didn't want to drive to pursue the dream. Harlan Sanders, when he was trying to get people to buy his recipe for fried chicken, he was sleeping in his car, going around to these restaurants, these little diners. But you know what? When you do find that, going back to what we said, when you find that why, if it's big enough, it's like Nietzsche said, man, he who can find a big enough why can overcome almost any how. And I just, that's what I love about your story, is just the, just watching the trajectory of finding a hardcore passion and sticking with it in some form of fashion. So well done, man.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, if Sanders had never done that, we would never be able to experience, you know, so I'm thankful that he's willing to sleep in the car and do what it takes. Cause now we have these awesome,
right. Now we got
good AFCs now.
That's right. We got the original. All right. So let me ask you this. Let's just talk some music real quick. All right. So Battle of the Guitar Gods, who do you invite to get on the stage and crush it? Who are your favorite players?
Oh man. Well, I would say my favorite players, started when I was, like I said, a teenager. I mentioned before Jimmy Page, when he did that guitar lick on Heartbreaker, that blew my mind. And when I was a kid, I bought the VHS tape of the song Remains the Same, the video of their concert from Madison Square Garden. Yeah. And I would watch that thing constantly. And so he was my top shelf player. And then, I was a huge fan of Steve Ray Vaughan. He was an amazing player.
Texan, baby. That's right. Yeah. Good Texan right there.
Yep. Fantastic player. Obviously Eddie Van Halen was amazing. I can't touch any of the finger tapping stuff. Keith Richards is kind of like my spirit animal. He's just like skin and bones and just nothing but raw mojo.
Real quick on that. It's sad in and of itself that Charlie Watts died, you know, especially when those guys are going back on tour, and of all of them that you would think would be the first to go, Keith Richards is still out there performing. It's like, good Lord, man. Yeah. Isn't that just amazing?
Yeah, it's fantastic. The guy, I don't know what he's made of, but I think when the bomb drops, there's just going to be bugs. Right. And he's like, I saw a bright light. I thought we were on, you know.
But you know what? Here's the thing though, man, going back to what we were talking about earlier, I think by doing what you're doing, and the reason why Mick Jagger can still fly around the stage and they're still out there again. When I heard they were going back on tour, I was like, are you kidding me? But I think it's because they still do what they love to do. I'm telling you, a lot of what this podcast talks about, health and longevity, is one of the things that I cover ad nauseum. It's a passion of mine. And so I've always got these incredible people, authors and practitioners on here. And we talk about longevity and, man, doing something you love and that you're passionate about and is fun, it will extend your life. And I think that has a lot to do with why those guys are still able to get out there and do what they do.
Yeah. They don't do it for the money. I mean, because they've never had to do that for very long, but yeah, I think you're exactly right. When you no matter how old you are, I mean, because they could have stopped a long time ago, but they love the whole thing. They're passionate about that, and you can tell when they play.
Right. Okay. So Keith Richards. Anybody else you want to put in that lineup?
I would put Eric Johnson. Eric Johnson is kind of one of these. He's the guitar hero, where he is very, very meticulous with his note selection and. The man is just bananas. Also, I would say Brian Setzer from the Stray Cats, and he's also had the Brian Setzer Orchestra. That guy,
yep.
That guy eats my lunch every day. That guy, I wish I could play like that. Those are my favorites.
Awesome. Do you have a guitar there with you? Could you play for us right now?
Sure. I have an electric and I have an acoustic.
You pick it, dude. I don't care, man. I just want to hear some music. This is awesome. And by the way, this is the first live performance on the Jason Wright Show of any kind of music. And I've had I've actually had a Juilliard trained cellist on here, but I should have gotten him to play his cello, but I didn't. So, dang it. But, John Henry Crawford, if you listen to this, you're coming back on to play your cello so that you can get with Tim and maybe the two of you can do a Jason Wright Show duo. That'd be pretty kick ass.
Oh, we can come up with a theme song for you.
Absolutely, man. Okay. So go for it. What you got?
Well, what do you want? We could do like a little blues thing where you're like,
Stevie Ray. I mean, I'm a fifth generation Texan. I'll take some Stevie Ray if you've got it.
Okay. Let's get this thing going.
Thank you. Yes, that was awesome, man.
Right on.
That is so good. All right, so let's hear some acoustic too, if you don't mind. I mean, I'll take it. I might keep you here all day, dude. We might just for the rest of the show.
Well, that might be a little loud. Let's see. So we could do. Let's see, acoustic. We could. Gosh, I didn't realize I was going to be on today.
Sorry to put you in this, like this.
That's okay.
This is awesome. Like it. My show. I'm going to get selfish. I'm going to listen to some good.
That's okay. Rest. Well, here's one that started it all for me. This.
Awesome, dude. That's awesome, man. Wow. And so, okay. So is that what the class looks like? I mean, how are you delivering your lessons online? Is this how you and I are going to learn? Is this how you're going to teach me?
Well, yeah, basically what I like to do is there's a handful of songs, a handful of chords, a handful of things over the decades of me teaching, I've discovered that give you the listener, the quickest road to success.
Okay.
And so I think initially when you're starting off, if you don't have some immediate success, you're going to tend to tap out faster.
Agreed.
So what my musical desire is to do like 10 sit-ups and then to have nothing but you can see a six-pack abs right out of the gate. So what I would suggest is finding rock riffs that are easy, finding simple songs like I like to teach, like Folsom Prison Blues by Johnny Cash.
Oh, heck yeah.
You know, Horse with No Name by America. There are certain songs that lend it to easy wins for you as a player.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And so, and I think that, yeah, you really said something there that I'm excited about, because I know that that's one of the reasons why I haven't stuck with it for now. I did teach myself with the YouTubes, how to mm-hmm. play the most of Every Rose Has Its Thorn. You mentioned that earlier.
Sure.
That's pretty simple. And it's like, okay. And then you always hear this, and I don't know what the chords are, but you always hear kind of the cliche. If you learn three chords, you can play about 80% of all songs out there. What are the chords that we will be learning first, or that anybody needs to learn just to at least get started?
Sure. I would say that there are four chords, depending on what, now we won't get into like the keys and stuff like that, but I would say the four chords I would recommend that everybody learn quickly would be G, D, E minor, and C.
Okay.
And the reason for that is because when you use those four chords, there are hundreds and hundreds of songs out there that you can learn using those four chords.
Okay. Okay. And then tell me about picking. That's like whenever, like playing Spanish guitar, classical guitar, that just sure. seems like an almost impossibility to me. Is that something that is it even worth going into that? If you're just going to, like for me, I'm probably just I want to strum and play things that are very recognizable.
Right.
But if I want to take it up to that level, is that kind of just a natural progression, or is that kind of like, okay, we're going to take you from calculus into algebra. That's a whole, it's math, it's mathematics, but it's a totally different course of mathematics. What is that like?
Right. Well, what I typically do when I learn a song, I learn it in stages.
Okay.
And so the first stage I would learn would be like, for example, if you're learning Every Rose Has Its Thorn, my first level would just be caveman strumming. Just here's a G, boom.
Yep.
Here's a C, boom. Maybe I want to sing with it, maybe I don't. That's my first level. At the second level, then maybe I start doing a strum to it. Maybe I'll strum four strums per chord and switch. So that would be level two. And then maybe level three, I would learn a strum pattern to go with that. So what I'm doing is I'm learning something new every time and kind of exposing a different aspect of the song. But if I never get past the part, if I play the G and the C and start singing to you, would recognize it as Every Rose Has Its Thorn. So every level gives you a different, so maybe you never learned level 5, 6, where you're doing Spanish finger picking or something like that. But you can still get the benefits and the enjoyment out of playing it at the own level that works best for you.
Okay. And is it easier or more difficult, or just is it a matter of perspective by the player, which is easier to learn, electric or acoustic?
Well, I think it's the same thing because you still have six strings and you have a benefit and a disadvantage to both. The benefits of the electric is that the neck is smaller, the strings are smaller, the body's smaller, more compact. It's easier for your fingers. But you know, the downside is you have to have it plugged in to get any kind of sound out of it. So you can't take that guitar to the park and be able to play under a tree. The benefits of an acoustic guitar is it's beautiful, it's natural, it's lush when you play it, but your fingers might tend to hurt a little bit more at the beginning because the bigger neck, the bigger body, the thicker strings. So it's more of a personal preference. Okay. But if you're a fan, you think about what you're a fan of. If you're a fan of Metallica, you're going to want on electric, right? If you're a fan of Bob Dylan, you're going to practice on an acoustic. So kind of think about the music that inspires you and then lean towards one of those instruments and then buy the other one.
Okay. And then what kind of a time budget do people need to have? Now, I'll tell you, I'm going to be one from the work standpoint, I will be the overachiever student you have. I may not be worth a crap, but well, you will make me as good as you possibly can. But as far as me, just raw talent, I don't have it, brother. So you're going to really, you're going to do some serious mining on this guy, but I will put in the time. I will have my calluses developed pretty soon. But for the listener out there that may reach out to you after this, and I hope to goodness that a ton of people do, how much time do they need to budget for what's a lesson? And then when they're not with you, putting in the time at a minimum to, and I'm sure that's unique to, you know, the individual at some point, but what's kind of your prescription?
My prescription is you're better off with picking up the instrument five times a day for 2 to 5 minutes than you are for trying to aim for a 90-minute session at the end of the day, because every time you pick it up, your brain and your fingers have to have that conversation of what was I doing last time? And so you relearn it. And so to me, the analogy I think of is when you ever walk through a meadow, the first time you walk through a meadow, you've got to push the trees and the leaves and the things down to get through it. And that's kind of difficult. And the next time, all that stuff has been kind of made for you. And the more you go over that path, the easier it is. So every time you pick up that guitar and try that riff or that chord, and you put it back down, you go have a sandwich, you go take the garbage out, you come back in, you pick it up again. You know, just pick it up a lot.
Yeah.
And you don't have to sit there for hours and hours. I think that's the biggest thing, is that most people think that they have to sit there and they have to sweat and toil over this thing for hours and hours. And it's not the case.
I think there's a lot of science to that. I know that I was just watching this guy. It was an MMA fighter. And he's actually a trainer to MMA fighters on Joe Rogan's show. And he was talking about how no one should ever be sore after a workout for the exact reason you just said. It's kind of like Pavel Satsulin. He teaches in weight training that greasing the groove is the same thing. You should not be sore. You should do small, you know, reps, you know, sets, and give your body plenty of time to recover, but do them on a consistent basis. And over the course of time, you'll probably end up putting in more reps than the person that's going and doing the soul crushing workout. Right. That makes a lot of sense. And I will say, whenever I did learn to play a few things, I think the very first thing I ever learned to play, I taught myself and I couldn't play it now, is Love Song by Third Day. Since you've done some worship leading, you've probably done some Mac Powell stuff. I love Third Day. Love all David Crowder, you know, he's a Texan. Mm-hmm. So we got Chris Tomlin. Chris Tomlin's actually an East Texan. And I've got a buddy of mine, a missions pastor, that's one of my best friends. We've been all over the world together. And he's supposed to try to help me get Chris Tomlin on the show. So
how awesome that
would be a fun one. But, you know, I learned how to play it. And then once I could just learn, when I could make it sound like something other than a caveman just, you know, beating on a guitar, and it makes it more fun to pick up every once in a while. Absolutely. And so I've just never taken the time to go to really get serious about it. So you're going to help me do that, man. I'm excited.
I can't wait. We're going to have a blast, man.
All right. Well, listen, I tell you what, would you do me the honor before we sign off with this crowd? And one, I want you to tell everyone how they can find you, what the process is, anything you need them to know about enjoying to play the guitar and your training. And then with that, I want to see if you'll take us out with maybe some more Stairway or just or anything else that you might choose.
Sure, sure. Well, you can find me on the website Enjoy Playing Guitar. And on there, if you go on to the website, there's a link there where you can download a free workbook of like learning a lot of different songs for free. And then it shows, like mentioned before, it showed the four chords in that notebook. So you can download a free gift for you. That's just enough to get you kind of started. And then if you have any questions, obviously you can email me at tim@enjoyplayingguitar.com. But yeah, I think it's a great thing to just take a little step every day. So maybe the first thing you do is you go on there and you click that link and you get that in your inbox and look. And then maybe tomorrow you pick up a guitar and you try one of these chords and then, you know, just kind of take it step by step at a time.
Awesome. I'm on it, dude. I'm going to do it. And right. I'll have all the information in the show notes so that people can find you. And then this is going to be, you're going to be a recurring guest. I don't know when I'm going to pop this one out. It'll probably be the first so the listener knows we're recording this at the very end of 2021, but I want this to be an ongoing thing 2022 for my audience to watch me struggle through this. And how cool will it be this time next year, man, when we come back and I'll play with you. I mean, this is going to be cool. I'm looking forward to it, man. I'm so that you're willing to do this.
Yeah, this is going to be a lot of fun. I've never done this before either, an online lesson like this. So this is going to be a lot of fun.
All right. So play something for us, if you would, man, if I can impose upon you one more time.
Okay. Well, I'll do it. Since I'm a big fan of blues stuff as well, I'll give you a little Texas blues by we'll do Robert Johnson.
So we'll have awesome. Oh yeah.
Here we go.
Awesome, brother. Thank you so much, Tim. This was so much fun, dude. I'm going to have so much fun working with you. And to the audience, look for the show notes where you can find out how to reach Tim and enjoy playing guitar. If you have any desire at all, I'm hoping, Tim, that by me putting myself out there, that will inspire other people to want to join in and do it. Heck, watching me pursue this desire to play the guitar, if it makes them decide to go pick up a whittling class or something like that, fine, so be it. But man, I'm so thankful for you doing this. And this was a lot of fun, dude.
Yeah, this is great. I think if your audience is interested, they could grab their guitar along and learn. We can all learn together and we can be making music all across this world, man.
Let's do it. All right, brother. Well, sit tight. I'll say goodbye to you properly. I'm going to stop the recordings right now, but thank you so much, Tim. This has been a blast.
You bet. Take care, guys.
So there you have it, folks. May we begin my guitar hero journey together. Until we meet again, thank you so much for listening. And remember to please always endeavor to improve. Always in all ways. I'm Jason Wright, and I'm out.